Welcome to Geek Culture Online. I am Patrick Bowen, your host. And there's going to be a little bit of quick housekeeping. Yes, well, I have not been on the air for 4 weeks and 3 days. There has been many, many reasons for that. And tomorrow's night's podcast will explain a lot of it. But basically is that I've been trying to do some other things that I've put on the back burner, which is now affecting other things. Now, yes, you did see Wilson posting a couple of new articles, and they've been getting some a lot of traffic. Greatly appreciate it if you go out there and take a look at her stuff. And in fact, something that I neglected to talk about in the last podcast and in the last article was that she is actually in a gallery show, which is ending this Saturday. If you're ever in St. Charles, it's a pop-up gallery.
St. Charles, Illinois.
And it's you can take a look at her stuff. You could also go to her Deviant webpage to see her work out there. You can look under her profile under geekculture.online to see her link or the name that she uses her artwork under. Now, we're doing a special podcast that's going to be a very tight one. It's going to basically, I'm telling everybody's, we're talking about Avengers number 4.
Avengers Infinity War. Hi, this is Larry.
And Larry is our guest today as well. Now, the thing is not it's Avengers Infinity War, it's Avengers 4. Avengers Infinity War leading into Avengers 4.
Right.
And the reason why we're bringing up Avengers 3, the Infinity War, is because it plays directly into number 4. Everybody's concerned about the impact that they think they saw during Avengers Infinity War, which is playing into the next movie. And everybody's been looking at all the pictures that have leaked on set for Avengers 4 and how it plays into everything. Well, and all the theories that are going out there, because the directors and the producers, and Kevin Feige and on all the stars have been saying, oh, these are interesting fan theories. Some of them maybe are correct or maybe not. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that everybody is wrong and I'm right. And I'm going to prove that.
And this is why we're here, because Patrick has a theory.
It's not a theory, it's fact.
Well, let's not go overboard. But it's a very... Patrick and I discussed this offline. I said, let's talk about this, because I'm sure people would like to hear.
And we're in a very strange location, so I'm not able to control the sound like I normally do. So this place is echoey like a cavern. Just deal with it. But yes, Larry and I talked about this heavily and in great detail. And Larry, do you think that this has any validity to it?
Well, okay, so Patrick,
let's quickly go over the what happened in Avengers 3.
Right,
Avengers
3
Infinity War basically was the culmination of the last 10 years of Marvel movies. This was number 19 in the series.
Correct.
Or was it 20?
I think it was 20.
It was 20. No. 20. It was
but it's
10 20.
Years for sure. Because you know, when I saw the movie again this morning, today,
because
and it said Marvel 10. When I said Marvel Studios, it didn't.
Yeah, that was brilliantly done. I don't know if that was planned. But so basically, this was 10 years building up to the storyline of Thanos getting the Infinity Gauntlet, putting it together, and then doing what he has been doing slowly throughout the galaxy. He's been doing things the long way. He's been going to a piece of the galaxy or a star system, and everybody's like miserable and everything. There's not enough resources, so he's been slowly going planet by planet, wiping out half the population,
right,
and then moving on and going like, look, you know, now that there's enough to go around, everybody's happy. And he's been doing this time and time and time again. Then he realized
it's not fast enough, right?
It wasn't fast enough. It's a very hands-on thing. He needed to do this more remotely. And so somehow or another, he found out about the Infinity Gauntlet, or he found out about the Infinity Stones. And then he went, okay, well, somehow or another, which hasn't been really truly explained, he knows that if he put them all together into some device that can control it, then he can do everything that
right,
he wants.
Right, right. That's
at once.
Really not right. That doesn't come up in any previous movies. I mean, Thanos appeared in the first.
He's appeared throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universes in the after credit scenes, where he basically his first lackey was Loki. He was supposed to
right.
go to Earth and gather the stones that were on Earth.
Right.
Loki failed.
Miserably.
Right. And then Loki took off because knowing that he was going to be punished.
Right. And that's killed. A comment because I saw that. I mean, I watched that very beginning scene and he says, I'm at your service, your humble servant at your service. He goes, you call failure, you know, with my experience. He goes, and Thanos says to Loki, you call failure experience? He goes, I call experience. I'm like, that was kind of a dud line, the experience. But again, he's harking back to Loki's previous yes. defeats on Earth.
Now, if you go back to Thor, with Thor Ragnarok, Helena is going through Odin's treasure room.
Yes.
And she comes across the gauntlet and she slaps it over and goes, this is fake. Well, and there's been a lot of theorizing about that. It's just that they're like, oh, Marvel did a backpedal like because it was shown in Odin's thing and we can't have that here because of our new storylines. No.
So was it fake?
I don't think it was a fake. I think it was a prototype.
Ah,
because okay. The mold for the gauntlet was on, and I'm blanking on the world where
the Stormbreaker's made.
The Stormbreaker's made,
right?
And then because the Thor sees the gauntlet mold,
yes,
and he goes
in Avengers Infinity War. Right?
And he goes, what's this? He says, well, Thanos came here and made me make this, and
right.
then destroyed the world and killed
right.
everybody
right.
On it.
Right.
And he's like, oh, okay. And then they make.
Stormbreaker. Right, exactly.
And so the mold is still sitting there.
Right, so there
right.
could so it could right. Because again, like when you make a plastic mold, the first one doesn't always turn out the best, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't fit properly.
So that's what I'm thinking is that or it was a real gauntlet, just that Odin, when he was running around with Helena, went like, this is too powerful. I can't have this.
Right, especially with Helena because she was the evil twin sister or the evil sister.
Right. Just that because Odin, before he lost his eye, was very like I'm gonna go around and take over the place.
Yes.
Just, and then he turned to like, oh, I'm going to, instead of ruling with an iron fist, I'm going to do this in a more, logical fashion. And then, Helena went, I can't have this. And he went, okay, I'm going to have to put you down. And so I'm thinking at the time he went like the gauntlet, I can't be tempted by this. So that's that.
Right.
Therefore he scattered the stones. This is just, again, theory. But anyway, the stones weren't with Odin. There was some type of a prototype gauntlet. Thanos got the gauntlet and started, going like, okay, I got what I needed.
Right.
I'm going to do everything. I got the last stone and I'm going to snap the fingers and
right.
take out everybody.
Right.
But the heroes of the universe got together and tried to put a stop to him.
Yes.
There was three points of contact. Well, one of them was off camera. Just that the Novacore world
right.
that had the original stone, the
right.
first stone.
Which is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, so again, some people that we've talked to and friends of mine said, poo-pooed Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, what does this have to do? And again, I said,
it's
yes.
also ties to Captain Marvel.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay.
No, the Novacore.
The Novacore, right.
Yeah.
Right, when I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought it was a fun movie, and we're a little bit off, but fun movie, entertaining movie. But again, I said, this felt like a very integral piece. And again, coming up to your theory, without Guardians of the Galaxy, you don't have a theory. The character.
Right.
But anyway, okay.
Right.
Novacore. He destroys Novacore.
Which is off camera.
Right.
We never see that.
Right.
And then he goes to Neverworld, the skull of Eternal. And then he gets the last stone over there. He goes to Earth.
Right.
He goes to Titan first.
To Titan, yes.
Titan first, then he goes to Earth. But on Titan, he gets knocked against the ropes.
Right, I mean, Titan, right. And again, I watched the scene specifically because you told me about this. I watched
yes.
most of the movie, but I watched the scene specifically. I mean, I literally paused it. I mean, I had something to do, and I came back. I said, okay, I'm sitting down, undivided attention.
Right.
And so it was first... Tony, I'm going to do my plan. And his plan was, if I can say this, Star-Lord's plan was, okay, they had Doctor Strange sitting there, and he's talking to Doctor Strange.
Everybody had special powers. Yes. And then they, instead of trying to take them on one-on-one, they decided to attack them from all sides,
right,
using their special abilities.
Right. Doctor Strange was like a distraction.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, yes. Doctor Strange had the Time Stone.
Yes.
And he was sworn by the Ancient One,
yes,
to never ever leave its, basically be the protector,
the guardian,
or the guardian of the Time Stone.
Right.
And so there was
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Mantis,
Star-Lord,
and hold on, time out. Why can't I think of his name?
I can't either.
Okay, hold on, time out, people. So anyway, everybody has unique abilities that they're able to use against Thanos, because Thanos, you remember at the beginning of the movie, he takes on everybody one on one. You know, he fights.
Yes, he
Loki.
Right, and Loki dies horribly. Right.
Well, may have died. But
we see him die on. Right.
Well, as a quick side note, Loki uses his left hand to try to
Drax.
Stop Thanos.
Drax,
the destroyer. Why couldn't I think of that?
Right,
Drax the destroyer is there. Mantis, Iron Man, Spider-Man,
Star-Lord,
Star-Lord.
Doesn't Nebula show up too?
Nebula later on.
Right, later on, exactly.
She was still dismantled aboard his ship, and she manages to escape, and so she's playing catch-up.
Correct.
Okay, so therefore, they all attack him from all sides at once. I think he's a very linear thinking type of guy. That's why he's like point A to point B.
Because he was focused on Doctor Strange, because I think he knew Doctor Strange had one of those stones. And
he focused only on him because I got to get to the damn stone.
I got to get the stone, right. And Doctor Strange is like literally sitting there cross-legged, very relaxed, fear.
That's when he was looking into the future, but no, when he was doing all the spells and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. So
Iron Man, he's basically Doctor Strange is causing distraction, because as Thanos walks towards him and stops, and they're having this little tete-a-tete discussion, then while that's happening is Iron Man takes like this big rock crushes him.
Yes. They all attack him from all angles, from all sides, using their special abilities.
And Spider-Man was really good.
Yeah, everybody had him against the ropes really, really well, because he can't, Thanos, again, linear thinking, he can't handle multiple fights from all sides, because if you notice at the beginning of the movie and later on, all his lackeys did all his work for him.
Yes. Yes.
All the heavy lifting was done.
Because he sends from the ship with Loki and Thor on it.
Mm-hmm. To go to Earth.
To go to Earth. I mean, he sends all them. Those are two stones. Do you think I would go to Earth for two stones? Right?
Well, I'm also thinking that the only reason why, he knew that there were stones on Earth, but I think that he became more urgent about it is because Hulk was sent to Earth. And he's like, okay, why was Hulk sent to Earth? Well, because he was sent there to protect the stones. Oh shit, I'm going to send my crew after him.
Right, he doesn't go. The entire crew goes. Right,
yes.
which again, he's always like parsing out the work, which makes sense. But at
at the same time, he figures that okay, I'm going to have them do all the heavy lifting, all the battles and stuff, because we never see how. All the Asgardians go down. We just see the ship is completely
leveled. Right.
If you notice that Thanos' armor really isn't that damaged when we walk into the movie.
No.
Here he is on Titan, having to get his hands dirty.
Right.
And he can't, him being linear thinking is like, I have to get the stones to do this instead of doing it the slow fashion way because it's taking too long. And then he's being beaten from all sides.
Right.
They get him against the ropes.
Right. Right, so the one thing is...
Let's talk about the movie as it is. Okay, so they get him against the ropes. They almost get the gauntlet off. He gets it back on. Beats the crap out of everybody. And then goes to Earth.
Right. Now, stop. Again, now I'm forgetting this. They actually pulled the gauntlet off.
It was fingertips were still in it enough for him to snap it back on.
Right.
It was skin contact enough for him to be able to still activate.
And it was only because of Star-Lord was
smacking him in the face, right, and taking him out of the trance that Mantis had put him in.
Because he was deep. He was deep in that trance.
He was completely out.
And that's when Gamora shows up. So Gamora's there.
Well, no, that's after he leaves.
No, Gamora's there. No, Gamora's at the scene. So when Mantis...
Nebula, because Gamora's...
No, I'm sorry, Nebula. Nebula.
Gamora's already dead
at
this point.
Right. I'm sorry.
Well, quote-unquote dead.
You don't think Gamora's dead?
No. The Death World? She's just in another plane of existence at this point.
Okay, but that's not your theory. Okay, so right. So Mantis is on his shoulders.
Yeah.
She's doing... So he's in a trance.
Deep trance.
And Spider-Man and Iron Man are trying to pull off the gauntlet.
And it's right.
It's almost off. And Star-Lord's there. He's saying, where's Gamora? Where's Gamora? And Nebula's in the background. Nebula basically says it, that she's gone. And that's what triggers Star-Lord... And that's when he punches him, and that kicks him back, almost like a kick.
He takes him out of the trance.
Out of the trance.
And he pulls the gauntlet back on, beats the tar, right? Nearly kills Iron Man.
Right.
And then takes off to Earth.
Right.
He gets the stone from Doctor Strange,
right?
Nearly kills Iron Man and takes off to Earth.
Correct.
On Earth, he manages to basically wipe. They all go to Wakanda.
Right, right.
He manages to beat the snot out of everybody.
Even though right before he shows up, Thor shows up with Stormbreaker during the big battle, and he annihilates like a large chunk of the evils. Thor is like the rescuer.
Basically, again,
right.
Thor
Stormbreaker.
He almost pulls the fat out of the fire. Thanos shows up. The rest of the heroes that are still on Earth:
Captain America, Black Widow, Black Panther,
Hulk without Hulk,
right.
Falcon,
Hawkeye, right. Everybody's there,
Winter Soldier,
right.
And so they all go after him, and they don't take him on all at once. They almost take it one on one.
Right,
which goes back to this linear thinking thing.
Right, which is not smart. Right,
because they don't know what happened on Titan, but if they knew, they would go like, okay, he can't deal with multiple attacks.
Superhero attacks, basically.
Yeah, so
right.
they Thanos takes him out one at a time. The Scarlet Witch destroys the final stone. And then
but
he's close enough where he uses the time stone, reverses time in a time bubble.
Right, right.
And then takes the stone, pinches it out of Vision's forehead, puts it into the gauntlet, does his snap, and takes out half of the living universe.
Right.
As we know it.
As we know it, right.
But then an after credit scene shows that the impact of this destruction of showing people disappearing out of cars, out of planes and stuff.
Yes.
And Nick Fury's back in New York. Why isn't he hiding anymore? And why is he with Agent Hill? Which Agent Hill was a security agent at Stark Enterprises. So somehow or another, they're back together again. They're seeing all this stuff disappear. Agent Hill disappears, and Nick Fury recognizes
like planes are crashing, helicopters
going. The car in front of them is crashing.
Right, exactly.
People are disappearing out of vehicles.
Right.
And
so they're moving. Right.
And Nick Fury sees Agent Hill disappearing. He grabs a pager out of his bag.
Right.
Which why is he still carrying this around?
Right. Thinking in 2018. Right. Why is that old school pager?
It's just all shield equipment. Why is he still having shield equipment which can trace him? Because he's gone into deep hiding because of Captain America 3. He was in deep hiding, and all of a sudden now he's hanging around with S.H.I.E.L.D. agents again.
Right.
So that was my first question. Why are they still hanging together? Why does he still have his equipment with him?
Right.
Okay, then he picks up the pager, presses it. He disintegrates too.
Right.
The pager shows Captain Marvel.
Right.
This is the only flaw in the logic. But
in your theory.
In my theory. But I think it's because of what my theory is. Okay, let's back it up. We're back on Titan now.
Your theory is
right. My theory is this: is that
on Titan,
they have him against the ropes. He's under deep trance.
Right. From a mental trance. They mentally take over his brain.
Yes, and so What she's capable of doing is making people see what their favorite love is, or what they want to see, what they want to see. Okay, what's the one thing that if Thanos is against the ropes, he's feeling the gauntlet leave his hand, he's under a deep trance, what's the one thing he wants to see is for him to succeed.
To defeat all these enemies, of course.
To get the gauntlet and to succeed, because at the end of the movie, they show him doing exactly what he wanted to do, was be back on Titan, the planet is nice.
Which he says that. He says that to Doctor Strange.
Yes.
He says
he wants to be a farmer.
Like 2 or 3 minutes before the battle.
Yes.
Because I saw that scene. I have to watch the scene.
Because he's at the end of the movie. He's
Watch the sunrise.
He sees a scarecrow of his armor. And the field of whatever plants that he's growing, he's now a farmer. He's seeing the sunrise. Everything is right as rain in his world.
Right. So what your theory is that
Mantis put him in the trance. They got the gauntlet off. He is still in his trance. They transport him back to Earth because now he's basically a time bomb. They don't know how long he's going to be in the trance.
Correct.
How long he's going to stay there, or what's going to kick him off.
So he has no gauntlet on. He has no stones anymore.
No, he's just sitting somewhere in a laboratory somewhere, and they're monitoring him, and they know that, okay, all his agents, all his armies and stuff are looking for him. So,
his minions, dead. They're not dead. Or are they alive? I don't remember.
All of them are dead. Do you think those are his only minions?
No. Of course not. I'm sure he has others. Right.
He's got worlds and worlds and worlds armies that he's taken over, and they're all following him. Intently. So therefore, they're going to be looking for them. So everybody is still looking to the skies, going like, oh crap, we can't keep this up forever.
Right, because first of all, somebody's going to come looking for him, and two, when does he wake up?
What's going to happen when he's going to wake up? Because Mantis can't sit next to him reading a magazine, waiting for him to come out of it, then jump and put him back under.
Right, right. Every day, 12 hours or something.
Yeah, so the clock is ticking. So the footage that we see from, the pictures and stuff, we see that from Captain America wearing his old uniform and all this stuff. Also, the BARF technology, which was the technology that Iron Man used to show showing his parents and him young. So it was like, showing the 3D recreation, the holographic image and stuff. It was called BARF technology. So you see all these gauntlets, these wristbands in those still photographs of everybody wearing all that stuff. So
these are the leaked photos you're talking about.
The leaked photos and stuff.
Okay.
This is part of that theory of Thanos is still being under. Is that Tony Stark can't let this go.
Can't let what go?
The idea that we're being invaded and things like this. So he's using BARF technology to revisit everything that has happened previously. That's where Ant-Man is, because they showed Ant-Man in the first Avengers recreation. He's got everybody's wearing their old costume, but Ant-Man's there, and everybody's wearing these wristbands. So therefore, Ant-Man comes out of the quantum realm. Because he's stuck there, because anybody that's seen Ant-Man and Wasp knows that he got stuck in the realm. The thing is that the quantum realm is that everybody's associating that it happened with the Avengers. It didn't. The end scene with Nick Fury and Agent Holt disappearing did not happen because of Avengers 3. Follow me with this. Avengers
the
4.
The final scene of the Avengers Infinity War
was not
chronological with Nick Fury.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it is, but it takes, that scene with Nick Fury and Agent Hill takes place in the middle of Avengers 4. Follow me. Okay.
The upcoming movie.
Yes. Thanos is knocked out.
Okay.
They have the gauntlet off. Iron Man, Tony Stark, is using BARF technology to go through and go through all the adventures and stuff they've gone through, trying to find a way of dealing with
Thanos
and everything like this.
How to defeat him.
How to defeat him. Defeat him.
Right. His weak points. His weak spots. Okay.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Because the whole point of Avengers was the invasion of New York was to get the stones and stuff.
Right.
So he's using BARF technology to go through all their Avengers.
Right,
and
right.
Stuff.
The original Avengers 1, when Loki was the baddie, that was to get the Infinity Stones way back then.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And of course, he was defeated, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay. So therefore, Avengers 4 starts off with it's in the future. That's why Tony Stark has got blonde hair and he's got that funny goatee and those pictures and stuff. Ant-Man's still around. It's because he hasn't gone to the quantum realm yet. Keep following me. So, okay. So
Avengers, we're listening.
Thanos wakes up. Or gets rescued in Avengers 4.
Rescued by his people?
Or somebody.
Okay.
He gets the gauntlet back by near the end of the film. So therefore,
the end of Avengers 4.
He does his snap, and that's why you see the disintegration of Hill and Nick Fury and the disintegration that happens at the end of Ant-Man and Wasp. So, we're still thinking that those things are in chronological order. They're not.
Okay.
So
Black Panther's still alive.
Everybody's still around until the middle of Avengers 4 is when Thanos wakes up and gets the gauntlet. This is where the scrubbing happens, which everybody's talking about all these contracts are up. Well, this is where this happens, is that everything that happened in the latter half of Avengers 3 was in Thanos' mind. Avengers 4 picks up from that point to the middle of Avengers 4. Then the real snap happens.
Okay.
And then
So Thanos still wins.
To a point, because they still bring him back because of the Death Realm, because they're going to bring Gamora back. So they have to go to the Death Realm or Death World to bring everybody back. So this is where they retrieve everybody.
Okay.
And bring as many people back as possible. So therefore.
Okay.
So I
remember.
It's a bait and switch.
Right.
Avengers 3 is a bait and switch. It didn't really happen.
Well, from the Titan
battle forward.
Right.
Did not happen.
Okay. So with that, let me tease this out. So. Before Thanos shows up on Titan,
mm-hmm.
the Avengers heroes and the
You're talking about Doctor Strange's comment.
Of course I am. He says,
605 with only one good ending.
Right. So
he doesn't say that we win.
No,
there's only one good ending.
Well, Tony Stark asks him, "Do we win?" Right.
He goes in, there's only one good outcome.
One good ending, okay.
One good outcome. What does that mean? He didn't say we win. He just says there's one good outcome.
Right, okay. And what does that mean? So Thanos still gets to wipe out half the universe.
Yes, but they managed to retrieve most of them back from the Death World.
Well,
Death Realm.
Right. After he snaps his fingers in Avengers 4?
Yes.
So how they retrieve them from the Death World? Is that the remainder?
Because they get the stones. The Soul Stone is where people are theorizing is that that's the portal to the Death World.
Well, I would agree. Because, again, let's just review the stones since I did write this down.
Right.
So there's the Space Stone.
Mm-hmm.
The Reality Stone.
Yes.
The Power Stone.
Yes.
The Soul Stone.
Yes.
The Mind Stone,
and
I would argue the Time Stone, which maybe is the most important, at least for evil minions. So, okay, I got to unpack a little bit something.
Okay.
Because I get your theory, and I hope the listeners are getting it too. Again, tweet Geek Culture and all that, and Facebook, and make comments. But so they have Thanos in like under lock and key.
Right? Yes.
And he wakes up, or he's rescued.
Yes.
Does he get the gauntlet back when he's rescued?
Yes.
With all six stones?
Yes. Because, the gauntlet was destroyed. You remember, it was completely fried. But there's still the mold.
Right. Well, that's your theory, because we don't see the gauntlet fried.
No. Look, if you remember, when he snaps his finger, and then he goes visit Gamora in the soul world, he comes back, and he's staring at his hand because it's completely fried. Because it couldn't handle the power of all six stones. It prevented him from being destroyed.
Right.
But it couldn't handle the power of the stones.
But you can always go back with the mold and make another one. Right.
Because the forge was fixed, it was rejumped.
Thor and Rocket, right?
Yeah. So now it's active again.
So in theory, the Avengers or whomever mm-hmm. could go back to the Forge planet mm-hmm. and make another gauntlet.
Because and Thor saw it.
Right, and get the stones and then undo everything.
In theory.
Okay, right. But they have to get the stones.
Yeah, well, the stones, they have the stones. It doesn't mean that they can get a gauntlet. And who's going to be powerful enough to be able to withstand doing that? And how do you, you know, who's got enough knowledge or enough, you know, things to do that? With, you know, Odin's not around anymore, supposedly.
Right. No, I would think Thor can. I mean, remember, Thor was almost fried when he had to restart the Forge. Remember, yes. He was in a little spaceship.
And he was outside, you know, in space when they
first. Right, he survived, right, when they come into that.
He had to wipe him off the windshield.
Right, exactly. That's Rock. Get this, like, no, he's alive. And his eye opens, right. Because he was floating in space because the ship blew up and he flew out.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure, how would he survive that? So
but he's an Asgardian. So.
Exactly, right. So, I mean, I think if anybody can wield the gauntlet, it would be Thor. That's my guess.
Yeah, well, he is the Odin son. So
exactly. The proper heir, not Loki. Right. As Loki says in the beginning, I'm not Asgardian. Right, he's not really. Right.
Yes.
The Bifrost, right?
Yes, he's a but you know, the other thing is that wasn't Hulk that got to planet Earth. That was Loki in disguise.
Really?
Yeah, that's why you couldn't change into the Hulk, because, you know, Loki could fake
So where's the Hulk?
We don't know, because there was a whole bunch of people that were expected to be seen in Avengers 3 that hung around with Thor and were not seen.
Like?
So, I can't think of the guy's name, the rock guy.
Yes, from Thor Ragnarok, yes. Right? So he wasn't in the movie, he wasn't in Avengers.
No.
Right, see Loki's neck get snapped, mm-hmm. so to speak, in the beginning.
Yes.
And he puts his body in front of Thor.
He just throws it down, yeah.
Right, he throws it down, and Thor is like wrapped up in this metal, and he has a thing over his mouth, so he can't say anything. Mm-hmm. But then the Hulk shows up.
Well, yeah, and beats the crap. That was after the Hulk gets the crap beat out of him. Right.
Taps
Hemrock,
his...
sends Hulk to Earth.
Right.
But the thing is that how do you know that was Hulk?
Well, it looks like Hulk is being sent to Earth, right?
Ding, 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 ding. So that's when he's on Earth. On Earth, you know, everybody's going like, well, you know, we need you to change into the Hulk and defeat him with your super strength. He's like, oh, I can't change into the Hulk.
Right, he never does change back. That's true. Right, on Wakanda, he's in like that metal suit.
It's the Hulkbuster.
Right, the Hulk. So he never actually changes back to the Hulk.
No.
So you think that's Loki?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the internet theory, is that Loki escapes to Earth. Loki never really truly died, and that's why he never changes back. But there is a photo that was part of Avengers 3's, you know, Infinity War's release, where they show Bruce Banner standing next to the gauntlet of the Hulkbuster, and it's just part of the arm. So the Hulkbuster armor is completely destroyed or dismantled, and he's sitting there talking next to it. So then there's that other photo of Hulk and everybody running through the forest at something. They show Black Widow and the Falcon and all these other people running towards something, but it's Hulk. He's never shown as Hulk on planet Earth. So where did the scene that's in the trailer come from? And why is it there?
Right, that's true. Right.
Everybody's like, wait, the scene never appears in Avengers 3. Why? So I'm thinking that scene is actually from Avengers 4.
They just don't say that. They just...
Right, because Avengers 3 and 4 were filmed at the same time.
Correct.
And in September of this year, they went back to do pickups and refilming.
Right.
Hulk said that, yeah, we're back refilming things. He didn't say pickups or finishing it. He says we're refilming things.
Right. Mark Ruffalo said that.
He's very famous for letting things leak.
Right, exactly. Right. I saw the Jimmy Kimmel episode more than once where he literally...
Well, also the time that he was Instagramming and he left his phone on and put it in his back pocket, and yes. 10 minutes of the movie was released until somebody tapped him on the shoulder. And said, your phone is on.
It was a Disney executive, yeah, right? It was a woman who came up to him and said, "No, it's not." He said, "No, it's on. It's on. You're broadcasting." And they pulled out. He
really thought he lost his job at that point, but yeah. They said it's fine because Spider-Man at the time had already released a whole bunch of shit from being in an interview. His biggest thing was that he was supposed to never talk about anything about Spider-Man Homecoming, and he was on this British show being interviewed, and he goes, "Yeah, the most difficult thing scene that we had to do was I'm swinging down through this water," and he goes, "Oh shit," because there was this major scene of him Spider-Man swinging down, touching the water as he's swinging off the bridge in Spider-Man Homecoming,
right. So well, you know that.
No, I'm sorry, that was Infinity War.
Human nature is that people forget. You know, they ask questions and they think, "Oh, it's okay." They don't remember what they can and can't talk about.
They've been also given fake script pages. So as they're, there's only one person in Avengers 3 and 4 that has seen the whole entire script.
And am I right that is Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes.
Right. He's Doctor Strange.
He kept on saying, "I don't get this. I don't get this. I don't get this." And he goes, "Okay, well, we're going to show you this." So he had to go into a room, and there was an executive standing over his shoulder. He couldn't pull out his phone or anything. So he sat there with a binder. It wasn't a real script. It was a binder of a script. And he read the whole thing from beginning to end. And he goes, "I get it now." And then they took it away. They reached over his shoulder, took it from him.
About how much money we're talking.
But the thing is that why only him? Because he plays a major key role in this. Then, because he had
Look. I saw the Doctor Strange movie, and again, other people that are big. Massive, massive Avengers fans. Mm-hmm. Poo-poo Doctor Strange. I said, "But you don't get it." I said, "Doctor Strange is crucial." I said, "That character, the mysticism that he has, of course, the stone."
They were introducing the mystical realm, because right. Now they can, the hundreds of characters they have from that. I mean, it's just like death is a real person. The universe is a real person. Chaos is a real person.
Right.
So in the Marvel universe, so there's just the door has been completely
It's proverbially open. Wide open
now because it's just a man thing and the nexus of everything that which is in Florida, which is being protected by Man-Thing and Howard the Duck.
Why? What? Wait, what?
The nexus of everything.
Nexus of everything.
Yeah, there's a portal that you can go to any place, anywhere, anytime, and it's okay. In the Florida Everglades where Man-Thing hangs around. And Man-Thing.
This is from the comic books now.
Yes. Caveat. Yeah, this is not, the Marvel Cinematic Universe plays fast and furious with things and changes things so much.
See, everybody, Florida's very important. home state.
But and why Howard was ever made.
No. Just because George Lucas did it, it was a flop.
It was exactly like the comic books, and anybody that's read the comic books and the magazines, it was duplicating of the comic books.
It doesn't mean it was good.
It was good. Okay.
I didn't see the
storylines of any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe have been plucked from the comic books. So therefore, are you saying those are bad too?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Case in point.
I still like Batman more.
So
the theory is that Mantis, again, a Guardians of the Galaxy character who comes in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, am I right? Let's just make sure we understand the timeline here. She's not introduced to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which is a good movie. I still prefer Guardians of the Galaxy 1, to be honest with you.
And the number 3 we'll never see.
Oh, yeah, because the director's gone? I mean, they have nobody else to do it?
Well, no, it's just most of the crew, most of the cast was so upset with Gunn's firing that, they said,
they said
Drax said that he doesn't want to do it anymore. And they're like, "Well, okay, he's been written off." If they do a Galaxy 3, which apparently has been put on the back burner.
Right, it's supposed to be like next year or something, or 2020.
It's back burnered.
Okay.
Until they iron this out, which I don't think will ever happen, and we'll never see that.
Drax survives at the end of Avengers 3. Does he survive?
No, he
doesn't. No, he disintegrates. Oh. That's right. He does that. Right.
And you know the new action playset is that the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers is nothing but these vials of sand.
It'll be 99. It'll be 100 hours. Here's some sand. Here's some silicon. At least the old Death Star, you know, from Star Wars with the three levels had a trash compactor. It was little, like a little foam.
I have that.
You still? I had that. Have as in present, as in,
yes,
present tense.
Yes, with the original box and everything.
Oh, see, I opened mine and played with it,
well,
Patrick.
You're sick.
Whatever. And so I used to throw my action figures into the trash compactor, and the trash compactor had actual trash.
Yes, it
wasn't
did.
Trash. It was little foam cutouts of, like, rectangles and stuff.
Yes.
And that was better than vials of sand. At least I could play with stuff.
Well, you can do stuff with sand.
Yeah, I can make a sandcastle. we're off.
But anyway, so it's just that. So therefore, the disintegration of the people and the ending scene of Ant-Man Wasp take place after Avengers 4. So
after the upcoming movie.
Yes. So because everybody's assuming that that just because that came out first, it's part of this. No, it came out after Avengers. It's in chronological order. No, it's not. Because
right.
Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s.
1990s, right.
Yes, and it comes before Avengers. Now, here's my point with that.
Okay.
Is that they've already introduced the trailer and some characteristics of Captain Marvel. She is in the most modern costume. They show pictures on set of being the original Captain Marvel's costume. Okay.
Okay.
She has memory problems.
Yes, I did read that in an article, right.
Okay. Right. Now they have Coulson, Agent Coulson, and Nick Fury in this.
In the Captain Marvel movie, right.
Yes.
Which is coming in March of 2019.
Yes. This is the beginning of their careers with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Correct.
But it's still S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay?
Right.
So what's the main thing that happened to Coulson in Avengers? He gets killed.
Right.
He's brought back.
In Avengers 1? 1?
Right.
Yeah, 1. Yeah.
He's brought, and that's how far they congeal and they become a team because they needed something to focus on.
Correct.
He's brought back to life using Kree blood in the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series. Now, here's the thing. That they erased his memory and distorted it because the process of bringing him back was so traumatic. They implanted memories and everything else. This and Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s.
Right. So this is pre all that.
Pre all this.
Pre Avengers,
yes.
The first New York invasion.
And the trailer of Captain Marvel has Nick Fury saying, I didn't consider threats from outer space.
But that would make sense because this is prior to all these threats and all these invasions.
So therefore, Nick Fury and Agent Coulson are introduced to things like the Skrull and the Kree and all these other things.
Right, the Kree are in the Captain Marvel movie.
Yes. So therefore, this is where he starts developing his ability to bring people back, because where did the body come from of that they used in Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? This is where they get the alien body in Captain Marvel, is because Nick Fury starts building the ability to bring people back or resuscitate or do other things with it. That's why Captain Marvel's memory is so spotty, is because she was the prototype or the beta version of being able to bring people back.
She was the test mule, the test dummy, the test mouse, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, which then lays the foundation of Nick Fury slowly planning the Avengers initiative. Because he says, oh, here's a super being, there's got to be others. So he starts slowly, slowly gathering, which at the end of Iron Man, he goes, I'm building a team together called the Avengers Initiative.
Right.
And I want you to be part of it. Well, it's because Nick Fury, since the 1990s, has been playing the long ball. He's been slowly building it since then. He's known about all this shit. That's why he was, that's why he started putting this together.
So what you're trying to tell us, Patrick, or what I'm hearing you say, Patrick, is if you truly want to understand the Captain Marvel movie, which I'll be honest with you, I didn't read Captain Marvel comics.
It's not an origin movie. It just takes place after she is Captain Marvel.
Okay. Right. No, I got that. All right.
With flashbacks.
But what you're saying is, if you really want to understand the Captain Marvel movie, You need to sit your ass down and go through all these 20 or 19.
Well, I don't think they're really connected together, but the underlining motivation of Nick Fury is from the Captain Marvel movie. So yes, if you watch all 19 or 20 movies, you'll get to find the reasoning for the Avengers Initiative, which starts in Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, right. So Captain Marvel is the origin of the Avengers, or the beginning of the Avengers becoming the initiative.
Because Nick Fury realizes that I gotta prepare for this, so right. I'm gonna keep an eye out for all these super beings that I can put together,
right.
Because I've been introduced to Captain Marvel. Obviously, she isn't around for all this time until. Yeah, Avengers 3.
Right. So we won't see. Will we see Captain Marvel in Avengers 4?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, I'm very, very sure that they're going to bring in Adam Warlock because the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 mm-hmm. showed his cocoon.
Like in the little
scene. the gold cocoon at the end when she goes, I have a, you know, says that when Rocket and pisses off what's her face, and she's like, oh, I got something for, and what is that, Guardians of the Galaxy 1?
I don't remember.
That was Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Okay. But it just, but so, you know, so I think that they're going to introduce more cosmic beings.
Okay. Well, I mean, once Avengers 4, Infinity War Part 2 ends, that's like the next stage.
That's phase 5.
Okay, phase 4.
Phase 4. Right.
Okay, so let me just review something about your theory. Right. So what you told me about Mantis, making him in this dream state. So basically for half the movie, we're just in Thanos' dream.
Yes.
That to me sounds a lot like Inception. And with all the time playing with the jumping around, it sounds like Quentin Tarantino was an executive producer on many of these movies, basically. Because, I mean, that's Tarantino's calling card is the jumping around of stuff.
Well, it's really strange is that all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies up till now were in chronological order. They happened in the order that they were released in.
Right. Except for
Wasp, Ant-Man.
Wasp, Ant-Man. Okay, Ant-Man. So those 2018 movies.
Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking that they did those out of order intentionally because they don't want to reveal that he's actually zonked out.
Okay.
Because that wouldn't have been much of a movie if they went, oh, he's under.
Right. Exactly. It's not, right. Oh yeah. Okay. Who cares? Right.
Yeah. So that's why I think that it was edited the way it was done, where they ended on the way that Thanos wanted things to end, but it's not what actually happened.
Right. That's the Inception part. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think it's a pretty good theory. Like I said, I saw the scene. Like I said, I told you before, and I think we talked about this on a previous podcast about the Avengers, the post-Avengers Infinity War podcast. Mm-hmm. Listeners, listen to it. Tell me if I'm lying or not. That I remember, I said they had several times that Thanos should have been dead. I said this. And I said, Thanos should have been dead on Titan. They said they had the gauntlet off his hand.
Yeah.
They just had to insert Star-Lord's anger as a plot point, but they kept nagging me, like, no, they had it. I mean, they had him. I mean,
Thor had him too. He plunged.
That was in Wakanda. Yeah, I mean, I thought for sure.
And he goes, why didn't you go for a headshot?
Yeah, yeah. I thought for sure he was. I thought, oh, that's the ending of the movie. I said, oh, the buildup of Thanos.
I mean, if he did a headshot, then it would have been the end of it if that really happened. But that was in Thanos' brain.
Right. So again, going with, he's the supervillain. Mm-hmm. He's all powerful, Thanos.
Yes.
So therefore, after Titan, after he's zonked by Mantis, that he's running this, oh, but I get the gauntlet back, I destroy them in Titan, I go to Wakanda, I do the battle there again, but I pull my fat out of the fire,
and he gets everything back,
and then I do, and then, oh no, she destroys the stone, but it's like a Raiders of the Lost Ark thing at this point in his brain, basically.
Yeah, because
the cliffhangers.
Because, if in his mind, if it was, if, it can't be that perfect. Where he says like, oh, I not have any conflict to the end. No, Mantis is, you know, was still probably controlling him up to that point in his mind where then he gets to watch the sunset. And now he's completely relaxed. He's so deep into his own mind that he doesn't care anymore because he got what he wanted.
Right, exactly. So his wishes have been fulfilled, basically. Yes, yes. And like I said, I saw this morning. He tells Dr. Strange that I will be at, and then Dr. Strange, actually, what would you do then? What would you do? And he says, I'll be resting on my home at peace, and I'll be watching the sunrise. And it's exactly.
Verbatim.
Okay, right, verbatim. So let me backtrack a little bit, but now I didn't see the scene today, snaps his finger, destroys. Again, this scene evokes to me Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. This is what I know. It's a very different scene. So remember when there's a scene with Johnny Depp where he sees these crabs and they're it's like an ocean. It's like the ship is on like a sandbar. Mm-hmm. It's a very mystical, very funky, like you're like kind of high type of scene. So what's the scene when he snaps the fingers?
He goes Gamora.
Right, and he's like in a pool, right? He's like in a pool of blood, or I mean, it looks like blood or water.
It's the same color as the Soul Stone. So therefore, that's why everybody's associating it with the Soul Stone and the Death World because Gamora is dead. He had to kill the thing that he loved the most to be able to get the stone.
Right, and the scene I did see, I didn't see that scene again today, but I saw where he goes to the planet Vormir, and then he pushes Gamora off the edge and she dies.
And he gets the stone.
But remember how he gets the stone. He then he's in space kind of, right? And then he's laying in this pool of water. And he lifts up his left hand, and he has the gauntlet with the existing stones, and his other right hand is still in the water, and it lifts up, and he sees like a light. He sees like a glowing, and he lifts up, and that's the Soul Stone, and then he puts it on. Is that evoking the back to that scene, the scene at the end with the red?
He's going there, and he says, did I do it? And the younger Gamora says,
right, the baby Gamora, right, the little.
He says, what did this cost you? And he goes, everything. So therefore, in his own mind, he sacrificed absolutely everything to get
because he really cried in Vormir. Because Gamora didn't realize it. I was watching that scene. Gamora
had no idea.
She goes. See, there's nothing. There's nobody that you love. You're here by yourself. You failed again. Mm-hmm. And then he turns around, and looks at her, and she goes, "No, wait, it's me." And then she realizes that he loves her, which is
strange because he killed half her world.
Right, right.
Killed her parents.
And that's the knife. That's the knife. That scene was crucial where he goes to her planet and he literally, when they're killing half his minions, she wants to look and he turns her head away. He gives her the knife. He gives the knife as a distraction, basically. I see how it's perfectly balanced. And so she's being distracted when the people are lined up to die. Mm-hmm. And so, it almost like it haunts him.
I think it's just that, that's one of the only people that he's ever rescued from what he's been
at least
doing.
That we see. Yeah, really. Because Nebula is his real daughter. I mean, help me out. I mean, is his real biological daughter?
Yeah, but she is completely, utterly. She's more mechanical than human.
Okay.
Because of all the things that he's put her through. Because he wanted her to be like Gamora. It didn't quite work out.
Right. Where Gamora is not his biological, really his stepdaughter, if I could say that, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
He had something for her because she turned out more like the way he wanted Nebula to turn out.
Right. But yet.
Yeah, kind of like the opposite of Thor and Loki.
Right, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Odin wanted Loki to turn out like Thor, and didn't quite work out.
Right, not at all, right.
So it's the opposite of that.
Right.
Because, Thanos thinks that he's doing the right thing.
He really does. I mean, I saw the speech again. I mean, he says it's out of mercy, is what he says.
Well, yeah, because he saw, he did it to one world, and then they recovered from it, and he's like, wow. Wait, linear thinking. I should do this to more.
Right.
And to save it's doing the same thing. Well, let's extrapolate that linear thinking. Let's do this to the whole entire galaxy.
Right, to the universe.
This is taking too damn long. Right. Let me try to do this quicker because too many people are suffering.
Right,
in my mind, they're suffering.
Right, and he says this is an act. Act of mercy.
Yeah,
and again, that's.
But see, the
mass
thing is,
genocide.
But you know, the gag thing that ran around the internet for a while is that if you had the gauntlet, instead of getting rid of half the people, why didn't you double the supplies?
True. True. He could have done that, right?
And then snapped his fingers and like, double of everything.
But he's a supervillain, so he's being negative, you know.
And in our eyes.
Right. No, right. In the audiences. Hopefully most of the audience, maybe not all the audience.
So. But, you know, I wonder how many people were cheering him on.
I'm sure there's some.
But, you know, okay. So, therefore, I think that that Avengers 4, because we don't know the name of it, because it's no longer Infinity Gauntlet 2,
right.
Is
Infinity War 2, right?
Picks up and resolves the issues. People are going to die.
So what do you think the first scene of Avengers 4 is
going to
be? I guess
it's going to be the opening of the Avengers scene that's being recreated by Tony Stark using barf technology, and they're walking through the scene, watching it being done again, because he's trying to analyze this. This is years after them capturing Thanos.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Okay. So it's not like 6 months later later. This is several years later.
Yeah, because Tony Stark's going to have a kid, because he talked about that at the beginning.
Yes, he did. He's talking to Pepper, and he's saying he wants kids. Right. He said, I have this dream. He's like the dream where you have to go pee, right? And then you have to pee when you get up. He said, right, I had a dream of us having a kid. Or you were pregnant. You were expecting.
Yes. So I'm thinking that this is several years later, so the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
He's got a kid now.
Right.
And so Thanos is still under ice. And you know, he keeps replaying all the events that led up to this, because you know, like I got.
He's trying to analyze everything, right?
Yeah, he's trying to like the clues are here, the answer is here. I got to find it,
right? Because everybody's alive, everybody's back, right? Yeah. And I'll tell you this. So I didn't have that theory, and I think it's a very good theory, Patrick. With that, now that I saw Avengers: Infinity War again. But for me, and I think I discussed this on a previous podcast as well, that I just didn't believe these people were dead, and I'll tell you why. Because of Black Panther. They just introduced Black Panther earlier this year.
Yes, but his sister has been the Black Panther in the comic books. She's taken over the mantle many times. I understand.
But again, a little non-fictional storyline is they said that Chadwick Boseman had signed on for two more Black Panther movies.
Most of these people have signed on for three or more films.
Right. Well, he did Black Panther, at least that one, and he had scenes in Avengers.
Civil War?
So that'd be right. But I mean, they said Infinity War came out, right after, that Chadwick Boseman had signed up for more Black Panther movies. Yes, they can go in the past, but
Robert Downey Jr.'s contract had been up three times in the last 10 years, and he's re-signed every single time.
Right.
I would like to see the size of that truck of money. But Captain Marvel, he had re-signed. So there's multiple people that...
Tony Stark's and Captain Marvel?
Captain America
had re-signed. Right.
So multiple actors and actresses have re-signed, but absolutely everybody right now, except for Spider-Man and Black Panther, they're pretty much done.
Right, they're out of contract.
Out of contract. So if they want for those people to continue, they're going to have to re-sign them.
Right.
And everybody is, you know, looking at...
And those are boatloads of money, let's be honest.
Because of Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Because, you know, if he didn't pull the deal that he did, because everybody else, when they signed on, they had very small salaries compared to him.
Right.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. pulled off of Miracle. Now everybody's going like, I want Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. has been around for, what, 30 years? I mean, less than zero was his breakup. That was 1987.
Thing is that he really hit bottom, and they took an enormous chance with him in Iron Man.
Yes. And it just, I hadn't seen it, but he was in U.S. Marshals. He was a main character in U.S. Marshals, which is nice. I love that movie. I have it on DVD. I have a Fugitive U.S. Marshals 2 DVD pack.
Yeah.
And, of course, he wasn't in Fugitive. He was in U.S. Marshals, which was in 1998 with Wesley Snipes, if I remember properly. Mm-hmm. And the accounts that I read, and we talked about this offline, is that he was coked up. He was high for a chunk of the movie, right?
He became what Hollywood is. I'm not saying bad about it. It's just that, repeating what has happened in the past, is that he became uninsurable. All actors and actresses that appear on camera are insured, and if
injury, but against
anything, therefore, somebody that is unpredictable.
Right.
And has an addiction problem. The insurance company is going like, well, I can't insure this because it's going to cost us too much.
Not even Lloyd's of London?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's where those come from. Yeah. Right. So they said no. They said no for him several times. He got into some minor roles, and then he got Iron Man, and then the rest is history.
Right.
But it just, so...
Okay, so we have your theory about Mantis
putting him out
in the dream state. And so I guess the real thing is to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp again, because that's crucial now to the distorted timeline.
Timeline, because the credit scene that's in there is implied that it takes place, what happened in Avengers 3. I'm saying that takes place
In the middle of Avengers 4. Okay.
So therefore, everything, don't forget, everything is out of chronological or going forward. Feige has said that going forward, the movies may or may not be in chronological order.
Okay.
So he's already set us up saying...
Right, he's foreshadowing to all of us.
Yes.
Right, he's giving us some hints, but he's not going to paint us the picture exactly.
Right, and also because, everybody's contracts up, they may bring in other people, they may do prequels, whatever else, because Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s, they may bring in or introduce more characters, but they take place
and I have a question for you for our listeners, and we'll I'll make a last little comment, is that like Captain America, he wasn't found. That was, 2011, right? Mm-hmm. So he wasn't found until 2011 out of the ice. So, of course, Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s. There is no Captain America. He's on ice. He's literally he's not on ice. He's in the ice, right?
Yes.
Right. So, again, there will be no Captain America for sure in Captain Marvel, because he hasn't been rediscovered.
Nobody in the last 20 movies will show up in Captain Marvel, except for Coulson and Fury.
Fury, exactly.
Whoever is in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time, because they're both... just agents.
Right. So I guess my question is, on our little cliffhanger here, is if people want to understand your theory best, obviously they should go watch Avengers Infinity War.
And but look at all the details in it.
Right. Didn't you say something to me, you said offline, that there's a lot of Easter eggs?
There is two major Easter eggs that have not been found in Infinity War, and there's one huge Easter egg that has never been found in Guardians of the Galaxy.
The original movie.
Yes. And there's also one major one that has never been found in the Avengers, the first one.
And you have or you have not?
No. These have never been found, because as they find them and fans post it saying, I think it's this, the directors of the movies will come forward and go like, yep, that was it.
Okay.
So these directors have come forward and said, yeah, no, these have not been found.
So there's still some mysteries out there, listeners.
Yes,
so
a lot of the little details.
So start with, I have all the Avengers movies. So maybe start with the first Avengers and watch those?
Yes, also there's this cryptic photo that the director of Avengers 4, one of the directors of Avengers 4 put
Russo.
Out. And it's just Russo has him sitting in a room, a piece of a set, looking at his laptop, when there's a table and there's a bottle of whiskey on it. Nobody knows what the hell it means. Not even Disney. Disney came out and go like, we have no idea what this means.
Should it mean anything, or does it he is. Just like there, whiskey?
There, he says there's clues to the movie Avengers 4 in this.
Okay. I haven't seen the photo, so I have to see the photo.
So you're going to have to research it. But anyway, so we're going to wind things up here. So I greatly appreciate everybody listening to us, and I will try to make this a little more consistent going forward because of things, and we'll talk about that in the podcast that I'm recording tomorrow. But everybody here at Geek Culture Online wants to thank everybody for listening. You can find us on Facebook at Geek Culture Online. You can find us on Instagram at Geek Culture Online, no dot. You can find us at Your Geek Culture
on Twitter.
On Twitter.
My favorite.
And you can find us on Google Plus, on Tumblr. You can write to me directly at Patrick at Geek Culture Online. You can write to Larry at Larry
at Geek Culture Online.
You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow Larry on Twitter. Everybody here, please follow, listen to the other podcasts at Geek Culture Online. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, on Stitcher Podcasts. You can find us also on player.fm or any place else that you listen to your podcasts at. So please like us and comment on those, because without that, we're not able to see or listen to or show where you're finding us, and without that we're not able to provide advertising dollars, which then keeps us free.
Yes.
So again, thank everybody here at Geek Culture Online, and we'll see you next time. Good night.